Hello and thanks for downloading episode 14 of the Glasgow's Green Podcast. Again, we've got another special for you during this winter break. We were joined on the phone by the ex-Celtic midfielder Morten Wieghorst. But he spoke fondly about his time in Scotland, from Dundee all the way to Celtic until he left in 2001. Spoke about his memories of the 1995-1996 season, stopping 10 in a row, that Tyrol-Innsbruck game, and his favourite players to play alongside when he was at the club. He also opened up to us about overcoming Guillain-Barré syndrome. He also opened up to us about his battle with the Guillain-Barré syndrome, which thankfully he overcame. He also spoke about his time as a manager, as well as an assistant manager, when he was at Swansea, alongside Michael Laudrup in 2013. Hope you enjoy it. Cheers.
Ball swung in by Mahé. It's down for Donnelly. Great chance for Wieghorst. He must score, he does! And Celtic have pulled this one out of the fire. Martin Wieghorst makes it Celtic 5, FC Tyrol 3.
Well, thanks again for listening to another Glasgow's Green podcast special. It's episode 14. And we're with Morten Wieghorst, who has actually phoned us from Denmark. How are things, Morten?
Very good. I've only just started a new job as a manager at Aalborg. So things are a bit hectic right now. Plenty of things to do, but I'm enjoying it.
First off, Morten, the fact you sound far more Scottish than me is mental, and you're Danish. The accent, what's going on there? How come you're sounding so Scottish? You've been like that for 20 years.
I've been away for a while, but it's when I speak to people like you, it's all coming back. And I had a fantastic time in Scotland. Most of the time in Glasgow, and so I suppose it's just one of these things you bring along, even though that you go away to your native country, it's still there. And by the way, I always enjoy coming back to Glasgow. I haven't been for a while, so I need to go soon.
I was going to actually ask you, when was the last time that you were in the city?
I think it's a couple of years ago now. So I've often thought in the last year or so that I've got to go back soon and see all my friends and go and see Celtic as well, go and see Celtic play. So hopefully I'll get the chance soon. I'd love to come over.
It would be good to see you. Well, you're talking about the Scottish accent. When you moved to Dundee from Lingby, that was a big surprise, because Dundee back then probably didn't have a lot of foreign players. It was all mostly homeland. What was the background into that, and what was the big attraction with Dundee back then, Morten?
It's quite funny, because at the time I was a young player with Lingby, and I'd never thought about moving to play in Scotland, to play in Scottish football. But then we won the league in 92, won the Danish league, and we had to play qualifiers to get into the first Champions League, which was in 92, and we drew Rangers and played those games, and I'd just come back from an injury, but I had two good games, the first one away at Ibrox and got beat 2-0, but we actually had quite a good game and we felt a bit unlucky not getting more out of the game, and personally I felt good, and I thought the full stadium, the atmosphere and everything was quite good, and then we played the away game, and then we played the home game, sorry, and we went out on aggregate, but then Dundee got in touch through some Danish agents, and I wasn't too sure to begin with, because Scottish football, I wasn't familiar with Scottish football. I knew about Celtic and Rangers, but not a lot apart from that. But then a couple of months down the line, I thought, why not? They're persistent. Dundee wanted me over, and as you say, there weren't many foreigners maybe at the well, the season before that, but when I joined on there were quite a few. We had a Dutch player and a Czech player, an American player. So at some stage, I joined in December 1992. I think that season, I counted maybe 8 or 9 foreigners in the team. So things changed at Dundee, but it was an enjoyable time anyway.
Good stuff. I'm happy to be connected there also. So moving on to 1995, Tommy Burns brought you to Celtic Park and Barry Smith went the other way. Now, your first game was away to Hibs at Easter Road. Celtic were excellent. We won 4-0 and we played the sort of football that a lot of the fans have been dying to see after a good few years being below par, really. What was your main memories of 1995, 1996? Because, as far as I'm concerned, that was one of the most unluckiest we've ever been. We probably should have won the league that season. But would you agree the football from those days was just absolutely brilliant to watch under Tommy Burns?
I totally agree. And that's why I wanted to join Celtic when I got the call. I was told Celtic were interested in me coming to play for them. I knew it was going to be hard to get into a side that was really performing well, playing some great stuff, and that was the story of the season. We played some amazing stuff. I can't remember how many games we lost, but maybe one or two, if I'm not wrong.
I think just one game, league. Martin, it was. Just one game we lost to Rangers in September.
Just the one, yeah.
Yep, September 95.
Which is, it's incredible to go through all the fixtures and only getting beat once and still not winning the league. But I think, apart from the Celtic fans enjoying the team playing so well, I think Celtic won many. They had many admirers at the time because we played some very good stuff, and all credit to Tommy as well, Tommy Burns, for getting the team to play this way, this style, and so unlucky not winning the league. I mean, we all the players felt so sorry for Tommy and the rest of the staff that we didn't bring back that we didn't win the league because we did everything but winning the league, and that was a shame. But some very good players in that side as well. I managed to at least get a few games with the likes of Paul McStay, and sadly had to pack it in not longer after this season. And but he was a great player, somebody to really look at in training and the games that he played. What a good professional. John Collins, Peter Grant as well. So some very good names and some upcoming players at the time, Jackie and Simon, Tom Boyd, one of the more experienced ones as well. But strangely enough, it wasn't enough to win the league.
Maybe not that season, but at least a couple of seasons later, we finally stopped to 10. And would you agree, along with the Glasgow's Green guy, John, who also runs on this account, he actually said that he felt the 1997-1998 season was your best, and would you say it was as well? Because you chipped in with 8 goals in 36 games, and you were a big influence, especially in the European stunner, that 6-3 game against Tyrol Innsbruck. Would you agree with John that the 97-98 season was your most productive?
Definitely. For me personally, of course, I enjoyed the season that I joined late 95. Even though I didn't play that many games, it was an amazing squad to be part of. But to stop Rangers getting 10 in a row, something that the players were often reminded of that we had to do, and which we did, we managed to do that, was satisfaction. It was fantastic, and we played some good stuff. Well, won the League Cup, and for me personally, it was a season where I played the majority of the games, and I was an influence in a strong midfield as well. There was competition for places, and I really enjoyed it. I have to say, overall, I enjoyed all my seasons at Celtic, even the ones that were, where I was plagued by injury or illness or whatever. I really enjoyed representing the club, and I always worked hard to get back if I wasn't in the picture to play. I enjoyed every minute of it, but obviously that season, 97-98, we won the league and the League Cup. That stands out as the most successful one.
Brilliant. I mentioned the Tyrrell-Winsbrook 6-3 game. What were your memories of that, other than it being mental? I mean, it was just one. It was a massive roller coaster of a game, but you were outstanding. You were definitely the man in the match. I always remember watching it. I was only about 13 then, and I thought you ran the show. Was that must have been one of your most enjoyable games in your career?
It was. It was one of them. There were many. There were, as I remember, we played Liverpool as well in the UEFA Cup, as it was called back then. Yeah. That must have been in a later round, after after we played the Austrian team. But that night, it was a roller coaster, as you said, probably a bit too open. I mean, we went behind and we had to play catch up. And in the end, we managed to do it. A crazy scoreline. Scored some good goals. I think it's fair to say we were expected to beat this Austrian team. They still made it hard for us. We still made some mistakes, but we managed to win and go through. And for me personally, apart from the goal that I got, which was one of the more enjoyable ones that I scored in my career, and things went well. But it was basically that season we had a very good team, and it was easy to perform. There were players alongside you that were great players, skillful players on the ball, and we enjoyed being a group, and we enjoyed playing. Every game you look forward to every single game. Couldn't come fast enough, and this was one of them. And European nights at Celtic Park have always been special, and this one certainly was a special one as well.
I mean, that's like 20 years ago, but it's still something that sticks in my mind. It was a brilliant, brilliant game. Now, moving on from that season, you ended up playing under six managers. There was Tommy Burns, Wim Janssen, John Barnes, Joe Venglos, Kenny Dalglish, and then Martin O'Neill. Out of all them, who did you have the best relationship with?
It's a difficult one. I owe a lot to Tommy for bringing me, signing me from Dundee. We were what's called the Championship now these days, in the second tier. But he had a belief that I could bring something to Celtic, and so it's always special that the manager that signs you for a big club like Celtic. I had a good relationship with all the managers. It's very difficult for me to say who was the one I had the best relationship with. I tried to adapt to any given manager, what he wanted, and I think that was one of my main strengths, that I was able to play under different managers, different demands, and that was the same in the Denmark setup. I played under three different managers, but they were all good in their own way. Different. There were foreigners, there were Scottish managers, English managers, and you learned a bit from them all. And today, where I've stepped into coaching and management myself, you know, you can look back and think and take wee bits and pieces out of wee bits and pieces from every manager you've had a relationship with.
Right. Well, when Martin O'Neill was the manager, that was when, at the age of 29, you were diagnosed with the Guillain-Barre syndrome. Now, It's a rare and an unpredictable disorder, and it consists of weakness and paralysis of the body muscles. Now, regarding at that time, Wayne Martin, was the support you got at Celtic, was that over and above for at the time?
The level of support was tremendous, and that goes right through the club. They took care of the media side of it. They said straight away to take the pressure off myself and my family. They said we'll handle it from here, and they did that superbly. It was well documented, and as you say, a rare disorder, and it's always going to be something that, you know, the fans and people in general, they would like the news, but for the family in a situation like this, it's important that the club can actually handle the media side of it, and they did that brilliantly. The support from the fans was tremendous, and of course, mainly from the Celtic fans. I had so many, you know, letters and good wishes, and, you know, people coming in to see me. Obviously, my teammates, Martin O'Neill and his staff, all came along. It was quite overwhelming, the level of support. But even from, you know, people in general, I had so many cards and letters, you know, wishing me well, and from people that had been through the experience themselves, which was very important to me at the time, because I thought, what's going on here? You're dying to get some good news or get information from people who'd been through the experience, because you're not quite sure what's going on. When Rory McDonald, the club doctor at the time, told me, and he was very good, you know, he came out early and said, I think this is what you've got, and I had no idea what he was talking about. Then I thought, I need some inspiration here. I need to know that some people have got through this. When you're lying there and you can't move, it's very good to know that you can actually get on out on the other side, getting back to normal. And so many people wrote to me, explaining how they had dealt with it, and telling me to keep my chin up and work away, because I was going to be okay, and that helped me a lot. And further down the line, when I got back to normal, got back to playing football, it was such a pleasure being able to be an ambassador and a good example to people, a role model to people that went through the experience, that had, you know, that needed that support that I had been looking for as well. So I've been to see a lot of people with the Guillain-Barré syndrome, and I've been to see a lot of family. And I've written to people that have, you know, been seeking answers, and it's been such a pleasure to be able to give back some of the support that I had at the time. And I have to mention the doctors and nurses and the physio at the hospital. Brian Scott, the Celtic physio as well, did a great job. But the people at the hospital treated me so well. The Glasgow Sub in general, something that I'll never forget.
That's really, really good to hear. And I remember you were a bit emotional as well. You were overjoyed when you scored a very basic goal against Alloa, because I remember that game, it was a header, and nine times out of ten, if a player scores that, it's just a wee, all right, I'll go and shake my teammate's hand. But you were quite overjoyed, you punted the ball right up in the air, and I remember that obviously meant a lot to you as well.
Yeah, I mean, it meant the world. And I think my teammates sensed it right away, and the fans behind the goal, I remember it so vividly. But it was a kind of a milestone. Having got through, I played my first competitive game. I'd played in friendlies and reserve games before that. But this was a cup game. And although we were probably three or four up at the time, I don't remember exactly, then it was still such a great feeling. Having been in the starting lineup and then scoring that goal, that just made my day. And I still I can still recall the feeling as we talk about it right now, and it was just amazing.
Brilliant, Morton. That's brilliant. When you do, you still get the chance to watch Celtic these days? And if so, what was the last game that you saw?
We don't get a lot of them at the Celtic games now. I know Svechenko, your Danish player, it would be good to be able to watch him as well for a lot of Danish fans. But we don't seem to get a lot of Scottish football. It's more the Premier League and the Spanish League, the German League. So the televised games are very rare. And when you're involved in football, of course, you're busy setting up your own team and so on. So I don't get to see a lot of games. I don't get to watch a lot of games. So the last one, if I watch games, I go on to my analysing system and I watch it after. I don't watch many games live. So the last one would probably be one of the Old Firm games, because they always something special, and you go back. I've watched some of the European games as well, which is always interesting to see how they measure up against the good European sides. But in fact, the last one I don't remember which one was. But whenever I get the chance and the time, I try to watch a Celtic game.
Do you see similarities with this Celtic team to the one that you were in 2001? Where this Celtic team are going for the treble, just like you guys were, and eventually you got it against Hibs in 2001. Under a new manager, there's a resurgent feeling again, and the players are just overpowering other teams, a bit like you did in Martin O'Neill's first season. Can you see the similarities there?
Yeah, I have to admit, I haven't watched enough games to say, you know, the style of play and so on. But as you say, there are similarities. It's a new manager coming in, and right now Celtic are so, you know, confident, and they are so far ahead of the rest of the teams. And in that respect, it's similar to what happened when Martin O'Neill came in. So far ahead, and they can go for you know, all the three competitions. So there are similarities. It's quite stunning to see how far in front they are. I know, you know, Rangers have had to come from behind, and they're probably not quite there yet. But Celtic are so far ahead. So in that respect, it's similar. But as far as the playing style goes, I would have to say I don't know the team well enough these days. So I need to come over and watch a game soon.
You will. We spoke to Mark Reaper a couple of weeks ago. He's coming over in spring 2017. You can schedule a flight and come over with him and watch us lift the league trophy, probably.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to. As I said, we started out talking about. You know, I'm in a job in football, and sometimes you're not quite sure when you can get the time to go. But I'd love to come over and I'd love to join Big Leaps. Having said that, I would have to listen to his banter, and that's not very nice. But I would have to put up with that.
I'm not saying anything. Listen, also as well, Morton, this is a bit of a trivia one here. In 2003, you got awarded the Olympic Fair Play Award. Now, I didn't know this until a couple of nights ago when I was looking into it on YouTube, but you actually deliberately missed a penalty against Iran. What was the background with that one?
I just missed the penalty and just an excuse. No, seriously, we were playing Iran. It was a Danish select. They usually go away in the winter, so it's a kind of national team picked, but only the players that actually play in the Danish league go, because we have the winter break over here in December and January. So they pick the team and we go away. So we did, and we played Iran. And what happened was, it was a game in Hong Kong, and we were playing away, and it was close to halftime, as I remember. And somebody in the crowd blew a whistle, a referee's whistle, and we all thought that it was a referee. So this guy from this player from Iran picked up the ball. The trouble was the ball was inside his own penalty box. you thought that it was half time, and then the referee blew his whistle, penalty, and the team from Iran, they were actually walking off the pitch. They were so incensed that, you know, that they were quite happy to leave the pitch and not playing on if we were awarded that penalty. So the manager, Morten Olsen, called me to the sideline. I was the captain of the team then. And he said, what's going on? I explained the situation to him. And he said, go and miss the penalty on purpose, because we want to play the game. It was important preparation and an important learning curve for some of the younger boys. So that's what I did. I felt it was the right thing to do, and I certainly didn't want to go against the manager's word. So I missed it, and they were happy to play on, and we finished the game. And after this, sometime after this, you know, I was awarded this award for fair play, which was good. It was good for Danish football, Danish association, and the Danish game in general. We got this praise, and funnily enough, it made play of the day on CNN as well. So I think Carlsberg, as the competition sponsors, were quite happy as well, because it said Carlsberg all around the pitch when it was shown on CNN. So everybody was happy, but it's a kind of funny story, and a lot of people remember it. And obviously, because they read about it on the internet as well, that I missed a penalty on purpose. The only time I did that.
Did you get any free booze from Carlsberg as a thanks for letting off?
Funny enough, I think I have to get in touch with him. I haven't seen any pints of probably the best lager in the world.
Right. Into the final part of this then, Morten. You are now the manager of Aalborg, who have history with Celtic, of course, in 2008. I'm not going to go on about that because I'm still raging. So before then, you started off as an assistant at FC, is it Nordjylland, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. You became the manager a season later. But then the big notable one was when you were assistant to Michael Laudrup at Swansea in 2013. Did you gain a lot of experience down there at the Premier League that you can take into your current role?
Definitely. First and foremost, working with Michael. I had the pleasure of playing with Michael in the Denmark national team for a few games. What a player he was, and you could learn from him as a player. When he was a player, then he was the one that when I left Celtic, I went back to Danish football to play for Brøndby. He had just been appointed the manager of Brøndby, and he brought me home, and I learned from him when in his first job as a manager. And then I had the chance to go and work with him, alongside him as a coach, when he went to Swansea. He was halfway into the season when I joined in Swansea. It was an enjoyable experience. Sadly, a bit too short, but it was an experience working with him and the staff in general at Swansea, and a very good experience working in the Premier League. Something that's you pick up bits and pieces. It's not everything that you can take into a job in Danish football, for instance, because everything's bigger in the Premier League. The players are better individually as well, because the budgets are completely different. But you take some of the science behind, the way the coaching staff is set up, and the way the sports science behind things like that, and then again you I really enjoyed working alongside Michael. His philosophy, his idea on how the game should be played, and I thought he did tremendously well as a manager at Swansea. I'd love to see him at a bigger club, in one of the big leagues.
Okay. And lastly then, Morten, when it comes to social media, are you on anything at all for Celtic fans to still keep in touch or send you any messages, or do you stay away from it all?
I'm one of these old-fashioned guys who's not even on Facebook or Twitter or anything at all. Maybe I should look into this. I've never got around to it.
Yes, please do.
So right now, no, but I'll let everyone know if I change my mind in the future.
All right. Well, Morten, thanks a lot for coming on the Glasgow's Green podcast. It's been a real pleasure, and it's been really good to talk to you. And it means I don't need to put on my... I usually put on my phone voice when I'm talking to some of the other foreign players. I don't need to with you, because it sounds like you're just round the corner from me. So thanks a lot for making this really easy.
Can I just send my best wishes to all the Celtic fans? Now I've got the chance, and I'd love to come over and sense the atmosphere as well at Celtic Park. But I'll do so when I get the chance. But until then, all the best to all the Celtic fans out there. I still meet them when I travel around the world, so there's plenty of them, and it's always a pleasure meeting you.
That was episode 14, and I hope you enjoyed it. Massive bonus not to be joined by Rizzo this week, and another big bonus to have Morten Wieghorst on the phone, who was excellent with us. This week, myself and Hunter will also be back, and we'll be discussing the poll winner, which was last minute winners, in a bit of detail. So keep your eye out for that. We'll probably have it out this week. It'll be out on iTunes and Podomatic. Until then, thanks for listening again. Hail, hail.